Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank and praise the Lord for this opportunity. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I pray that you had a glorious and a victorious weekend. Why do you say glorious and a victorious weekend, Prophet Miller? Because once you come into the knowledge, the understanding, and the revelation of the finishing work of Christ, you can know and operate in the victory and the authority that Christ paid for all of us. I just thank and praise the Lord for this day. This is Apostle Willie Ann Miller. And I don't know who all have tuned into the broadcast, but I want to say to you, God said that he loved you. And regardless of what you're experiencing right now, the Lord is right there with you. All you have to do is cry out to the Lord. You can talk to the Lord. Before I got saved, I used to always say, I talk to God, but he don't respond. But I didn't realize at that time sin separated me from God. But even with that, because of Jesus' finishing work, God is merciful to all of us. Remember that one of the men that were crucified at the same time Jesus, he asked Jesus to have mercy and to remember him, and Jesus said, I would. And God is so merciful, and that's the thing that the more I walk with the Lord, I'm seeing it and I'm understanding that God loves everybody. St. John 3:16, if you don't have an understanding, a revelation of it, for God so loved the world, and that means regardless to what the color of your skin, your education, regardless to what you done experienced in life, Jesus paid for you too. Yes, he did. Jesus paid for you too. Yes, you too. You too. But the enemy, and I used to hear when I was young and going to church, I used to hear the older saints say that according to Hosea 4:6, we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's true. I'm telling you, if you don't have knowledge of the Bible and get an understanding and a revelation, if you don't, you'll just believe and fall for anything that somebody tell you. I know I was caught up in that as a child. I recall this deacon and, reading the Bible, and I would go to him and inquire of him, ask questions about the Bible, and sometimes he would give me an answer, even though it didn't kind of sit well with me. I didn't know nothing about following no peace. I didn't know anything about how the Lord lead or even how God talked to me. He would say, sometimes you too young to know this. And I would just take what he said, because I respect him, because what I was taught a deacon, it just like to a certain degree, like an elder in a church. And, I thought, yes, a man of God, he go to church, he must know God. And I learned from that experience, just cause somebody go to church, and even if they might be a deacon or elder, they even might be a minister, that don't necessarily mean that they have the relationship with God based upon the finishing work of Christ. But I was kind of confused about it. But then when I got born again and my spirit eyes came open, because I started reading the Bible early, because I used to read it to my grandmother and stuff. But like I said, while my grandmama was living, I didn't inquire too much. And most of the time, my grandmama would tell me the stories of the Bible. She would talk about the three Hebrew boys. But when it came down to the reality of it, talking about the finished work, she didn't discuss that with me. I don't believe my grandmother had come into the knowledge and the understanding and the reality of it. So she didn't discuss that with me. But I thank and praise God that just reading the Bible, that gave me a desire to read the Bible. And so whenever I got born again, it rolled over, and, God began to open up my eyes and understanding about the Bible. But I'm telling you, God want me to let you know that he loves you. He said he sees what you're going through with. and see what you're dealing with. But he cry out to him, ask God to have mercy. If you're a sinner, ask the Lord to have mercy on you and tell him you need a Savior. If you need to be strengthened, ask the Lord to strengthen you in your inner man. Whatever you're going through, okay, God, I need help. But my brother, my sister, get in the Bible. Start reading your Bible. If you're not saved, receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and be baptized in the Holy Spirit or either the Holy Ghost, the same thing. And you will begin to see a difference in your life. You know, the Bible say that God know how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Yeah, that's so true. You know, I can't expound on that enough, you know, about God. You know, there's some things about God I don't know. There's certain things I might not, can't answer. But I tell you this, God love you. Don't let the enemy cause you to base God love on what you're going through. I've been down that road. If God loved me, why God allowed us, or why God allowed us? The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, the 30 chapter, it tells us that God set before us life and death, death and life. And he tells us to choose life. And I kind of started off with that, and I kind of got away from it. But the thing that have really liberated me is that God made me with a will. God gave all of us. That's one of the sovereignty about God. God loved us so much that God gave us a will. And our will is the strongest thing in us. We can will to do right, and we can will to do wrong. And the thing about it, and I'm looking at it right now, I'm turning to it because I want you to see it. I don't want you to just take what Prophet Miller say, but I want you to see. It's in Deuteronomy, the 30 chapter, and at 19th verse, he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life that both thy and thy seed may live. And see, a lot of people, if they understand and come into the understanding that God created you with a will, that's why you can do whatever you want to do. You know, regardless if somebody give you a right instruction or tell you the right way or the right way to live based upon God's word, if you choose as an act of your will not to do it, well, guess what? The only thing about, I learned that, only thing about doing what you want to do and disobeying and rebelling against the laws and principles of the Bible, you're going to suffer the consequences. And, you know, I used to always blame everything on the devil. The devil did this, the devil did this. But as I continue to read the word and meditate on the word and God began to bring knowledge and understanding to me, I found out my worst enemy was Prophet Miller, because I didn't want to line up with God's word. And I felt justified when I blamed the devil and everybody else for my action other than me. But as the Lord began to show this to me, it really changed my view about life, my view about God. The anger, yeah, I was mad at God about some things. And it helped me to understand even now whenever I pray for people, God is not going to override their will. God is not going to violate their will. I want you to hear me. And this is the thing that the enemy will have you to blame God and everybody else if you don't have a knowledge and you don't understand this. Jesus said on one case, whosoever will, let him come, and I would no wise cast you out. Otherwise, I would no wise reject you. And this is what we really been kind of talking about. Remember, we started in Romans, the first chapter, maybe about a month now ago, and we've been constant. Then we went to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We began to talk about love. What love is. We talked about the spirit of gifts. How God manifests itself in them. And I'm telling you, this is so important that you need to know. Some of the things you experience today is based upon the choice that you made, the choice of decision. You suffer the consequence. It's not God's fault. It's not the devil's fault. And I'm telling you, the more you come into the knowledge and understanding this, now, if you haven't been saved, what I'm saying, I'm speaking a foreign language to you. Because a person not saved, they draw their own conclusion based upon what they feel, what they see, and what somebody done told them. They are very critical people. They love to criticize everything. They mum and grumble. Now, don't get me wrong. We got some people in the body of Christ do the same thing because they let other people read for them, you know. But when you, as we stated in Galatians, the third chapter, and remember we went over in Galatians, the third chapter, that 28 verse, really we've been talking about each one of them. When he said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And the reason why, in each one of them, it used to be a problem. The Jews had a problem with the Greek and the Gentile, and you had slavery at that time. Women was not highly esteemed, or better yet, they weren't honored. But yet, all in Christ Jesus, we are one. Christ came and liberate us from every type of bondage that Satan would try to, what Satan put in our path through ignorance or what maybe somebody taught us. You know, he made it possible that all of us can be free. The Bible said God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. When you go in the Old Testament, you see how the peoples of God, and remember we even talked about Daniel, we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we talked about Joseph, how each one of them was in a bad situation because of their nationality. But at the same time, how God protected them, even in the time of trouble. When Joseph's brother intentioned, they were jealous of Joseph. Their jealousy increased to the point that they wanted to kill Joseph. But God made a way for Joseph. Even though Joseph was sold to Potiphar, and he was in Potiphar's house working, and out one day, Potiphar's wife continued, she started lusting after Joseph. But because of Joseph's integrity and his covenant relationship with God, God protected him. Remember we talked about the three Hebrew boys. Because of their covenant relationship with God and their integrity to God, their pureness of heart, guess what? Even when Nebuchadnezzar brought them into his palace, he trained them to serve him, but they still held on to what God required from them. And because of that, listen, as an act of their will. Y'all, I'm telling you, when you really understand that you can will to do right and do wrong, and it's on you and nobody else, I'm telling you, it'll have you to view life from a different perspective. You'll stop going around here blaming everybody. You'll learn to be responsible for your own action. And you know, even now sometimes I have to wrestle with my will because especially if somebody done mistreat me, a false accusation, my will be wanted, you know, get back with revenge. But the Bible said, vengeance belongs to the Lord, he'll pay. One of the scriptures said, the battle is not yours, but the Lord. And see, a lot of people trying to live independent of God. They don't want to lean on God. They don't want to trust him, you know. I'm grown, and I hear that word so relevant. A lot of people say that, I'm grown, I can do what I want to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. As an act of your will, because God gave it to you, you can do what you want to do. But listen, when it come down to the consequences of your choices, as an act of your wills, cause you so be. That's when a lot of time people look back and say, "Why is this happening to me? I don't understand." It's an act of your will. You made those decisions, and I'm telling you, it's consequences that go with your choices. That's all of us. That's why Jesus said, "Whosoever will, let him come." And we got born-again believers. If you choose not to get in the Word and read the Word, you're going to be dealing with lack of understanding. Come on, somebody. You know, you're not supposed, God never intended. God always wanted a relationship with humanity. And that's what we've been talking about in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. I know I've been kind of been on this a while now, and we've been expounding on, but it's so much in this, and it really will liberate you if you get in it, if you read it. You know, that, and I said, this ain't been too long ago, and I said again, you know why it's a racism? Because people don't have a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation about why Jesus came. Yeah, people dress up on Easter, and they'll go to church on Easter, but a lot of them don't have no idea the significance of what Easter is all about. Yeah, people dress up and give gifts for Christmas, but there too again, they don't have no idea, they don't have no knowledge and understanding the significance of it. And it makes a difference. I remember after I came into the knowledge and the understanding about Christmas, when Christmas came and I would buy, purchase things for my children, I would put on there from Jesus to Artava, from Jesus to Rafa. That's my children's name. And I would put, because I wanted them to know God graced me with the ability to go to work and bless me to have fun. So I want you to know who it came from. It didn't come from nobody in no red suit. No, it didn't. It was God, and I wanted them to be able to give the honor and the glory and appreciation to God for doing it. I wanted them to know who Jesus was, and I'm telling y'all, I understand better why Hosea 4:6, and my people describe for lack of knowledge. And even the Bible tells us in Revelation how the Satan is the accuser of the brethren. But that spirit not is not only in the White House, it's not only in the world, but that spirit done creeped into the body of Christ, and he got the saints accusing one another. It grieved God when you got leaders, fivefold minister gift, pastors, apostles, vision, they get up in the pulpit, and what they do, they slay one another. They speak against one another. Y'all, that is not the spirit of God. And all that doing is bringing the division. All of that doing is causing your members to dishonor who God done told you to honor. God said, I honor those that honor me. And there too, again, I'm telling you, this is so real. Racism is of the heart. I'm telling you, you know, yeah, you know, when you start, you can't just put hatred and vengeance on one Korean people, a color people, because I'm telling you, like I said, you have it in the black, the white, the Latino, regardless of what race you, here's some hatred and bitterness in there. So you just can't just pick out one person. Now, maybe your ancestor had some issue with the white, and you know, and maybe not some other people, other race of people, but let me tell you something, that come from the enemy. Anybody that don't know God, I tell you, anybody that don't, when I said know God, I'm talking about developing a personal relationship with him, you're going to allow yourself to let bitterness, you're going to let offenses. In Hebrew, it talks about falling short of God's grace. Don't allow bitterness. And I'm telling you, disappointment in life, I'm telling you. Life can, because of ignorance and lack of knowledge, it can bring some hatred and bitterness if you allow it. But you have to know how to respond to disappointment. You have to know how to respond to disappointment. And I had to learn that. I had to learn that I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. And because of that, God is a spirit. Jesus is a spirit. Satan is a spirit. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. And because of that, we can be influenced, I'm telling you. We can be influenced by the spirit of God and the spirit of Satan. We can, yes, we can. But if you don't have no knowledge, and the Bible is the one that reveals things to us. I love all the Bible. But the epistle revealed to me people looking back at the cross and what the cross done did. I like some Apostle Paul said, he said, I was the chief of sinners. He was going around murdering the Christian. He thought he was doing God a favor. But it was after that encounter on Damascus that he had that encounter with the Lord, and his eyes came open, and God began to show him. He had such an awesome revelation about how we supposed to conduct ourselves after we be born again. And like I said, when you come to the knowledge of this, but God wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know But it's an act of your will. You have to choose him. He ain't going to make you. Hear me good. He ain't going to make you. And regardless of what you done did, and this what Paul would talk about in 2 Corinthians, you know. And like I said, there too, again, if you read it, he was telling them, and I'm going to read more of that today. God ain't holding nothing against you. What it is, you haven't received what Jesus did at Calvary. Yeah, like I said, life can bring disappointment. People can bring disappointment. People can bring bitterness and resentment and rejection to you. But once you forgive them people by faith, because the Bible said, if you don't forgive those that trespass against you, neither will God forgive you. And I'm telling you, we all have to do that. Something happened in my life. I had this experience on Friday night. And I mean, it pierced me to my heart what somebody said and did to me. And immediately my soul wanted to hold grudges. My soul wanted to, you know, well, you know what? I just won't go around them no more. And I've been confessing this scripture in the book of Galatians, where it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no more I live, but Christ liveth through me. The life I live now, I live it by faith. And I begin to tell myself, I opened up my mouth. I said, now because Christ lived big in Ann, because the spirit of the Trinity is on the inside of me, I cannot say, I don't want to be around them no more. I don't want to talk to them no more. I don't want to be nice to them no more. I can't do that. I kept saying that, and the more I said it, that pain left me, and those thoughts of resentment and rejection, that left too. But like I said, it was an act of my will. I had to choose to say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you say. That's why Jesus even told them disciples, he said, if you're going to follow after me, you got to deny yourself. And see, even after we get born again, our soul, I done said this so many times, a lot of time, and I've been there, people want to get up and decree and say what God say about them. But when it come down to an act of their will and submitting to the Lordship of the Trinity or doing what God say, people don't want to do it. And the enemy got you believing you can't do it, but that's a lie from the pits of hell. What it is, you so used to doing it your way, and resisting and rejecting what God said, do the enemy got you thinking you can't do it? Yes, you can. Ain't this amazing? That's the act of your will. If you have a job, you get up every morning, the days that you are required to work, you'll get up, get yourself ready, you'll get in your automobile, you go right to work. That's the act of your will. You do that. You even cause yourself to submit to the laws, the rules of that job. You'll do that. That's an act of your will. But when it comes down to the things of God, the enemy wants you to believe, I can't do that. Yes, you can. What I say this so many times, what kind of God, well, God is God of God. What kind of father he would be that know he created me with certain limit ability to ask me to do what he know I can't do. But our Heavenly Father, he created humanity, as I say, with a will, and he got us, we can win what we want to do. But I watch how the enemy build up this nonsense, and that want us to believe, oh, you can't do what God wants you to do. I say this a lot, even since I've been doing this teach. I talk to Ann, and this is what I say. I say, I act of your will. Every time God tell me to do something, and if I don't do it, I say, Ann, that was an act of your will. Because I'm getting rid of what the enemy would try to get me to believe, I can't do it. God be an unjust God to ask you to do something and know you don't have the ability or the will to do it. I'm telling you, go back to Deuteronomy. You choose. And I'm telling you, yeah, you can do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. You got a lot of young people, some older people. I ain't going to listen at the popo. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Yeah, you made those choices, but guess what? You suffer the consequence. Yeah, you ask for after your wig, you can go in there and rob a bank. Ask for after your wig, you can beat up your children, do all of that. But guess what? You're going to suffer the consequences. And that's what the enemy do. He play on your ignorance. your lack of knowledge. You know, a lot, you know, I had to learn this too. A lot of times we say, I'm waiting on God. God waiting on you. When Jesus said it was finished, everything that we need, everything we needed to do what God say do, Jesus gave us that through grace. It's amazing. It amazed me. But that unrenewed mind, to have you thinking, Clever Dollar, thank God for him. He been doing a series about the battle of the mind. Joyce Meyer got one of the most, the battle of the mind, that she sold a lot of copies. And a lot of people, the enemy, he target our mind. And he target with suggestion. He'll give you thoughts of depression. He'll give you thoughts of defeat. He'll give you thoughts of rejection. All of it come to your mind. And if you haven't renewed that mind as an act of your will based upon what the words say, it's just like, say, example, you've been on one job and you go get a new job. Well, you got to unrenew what you know about the previous job and get your mind renewed to the new job. You got to unlearn some stuff. You might have did this on the previous job, but now you're on this new job and you got to do it a different way. Okay, all it takes is just getting your mind renewed. This is what they require me. I had to be on the other job at 3:00, but this job, they tell me I got to be there at 2:30. So you got to go and rearrange everything, get adjusted to what you got. It's the same way in the spirit realm. Listen, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, y'all, it's not complicated. It's the way it been presented to us and the way we thought it was that make it complicated. I remember when the Lord told me one day, he said, stop making the words, so your message so complicated, your teaching. He said, simple. And you know, there too again, when the Lord speak like that, it just do something to me. It's like, wow, wow, God. And somebody listening at the broadcast, the enemy wants you to think it's so hard to live right. No, it's not. It starts with a relationship. If you don't receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you have to make up in your mind. You make up your mind every day to do certain things. I'm going to go to the grocery store. If you like me, sometime I say, and my daughter always tell me this, she said, Mom, why do you wait to 2 or 3 o'clock to go out? Why won't you go out early in the morning? I just like being home in the morning, because a lot of times I study mostly, you know, to about 12 or 1 o'clock. And she said, why, if you go early, Mama, you want to deal with the traffic. Is she telling the truth? But that's an act of my will. But then guess what? As an act of my will, because I choose to wait so late to go out, I got to deal with the traffic. And ain't no sense in me, Mama, complaining about the traffic. I choose as an act of my will. And I'm telling you. So he said, why God keep letting this happen? What choices are you making? Look at the choices you making. Why so-and-so do? And I said this a lot of times. I said, they're doing what it takes. I thank God for Pastor Monica Ross and family. They got an award for the most, the gospel group. I mean, yeah, I think it's the gospel group. And I tell you, they got an award. And, you know, I thank God for Pastor Monica and her family. But guess what? The sacrifice they made. You know, I know a little bit about them. They made a great sacrifice. I mean, with her children, the way she, you know, most children that have, they get cell phone. She didn't allow her children to be on no cell phone like that. Certain places she wouldn't allow them go. She had them fasting and praying before Sundays so they could be ready for it. Y'all, it's amazing. See, some people are willing to make the sacrifice and be faithful with it. And because of that, and y'all, I'm telling you, God promote faithfulness. I want you to hear me. When they do it on the job, where you think they get that from? And there too, I watched this sacrifice her and her family made in the way she trained up her children. And I said, praise God, hallelujah, thank you. God reward them for their sacrifice. God rewarded them for their faithfulness. And somebody lived there, well, you just don't know. I done did all, have you? You might, you know, sometimes, y'all, we can do a lot of the wrong things. And it'll cause us not to reap what God said he promised. The Bible said, whatever, the Bible tell her, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you reap. If you sit around and watch the TV all the time, you ain't going to know what God said in his word. You ain't going to know what to do when the enemy come knocking at your door. Hallelujah. You're not going to know. And the whole reason for this teaching is to let us as born again believers know. Let me read. She didn't pray. Yes, I did. I just didn't pray over the air. Sometimes I start and God, I feel led. But you better know I did pray before I got on the air. But in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and for time's sake, I'm going to drop down. The 14th verse, he said, for the love of Christ constrained us because we thus judge that if one die fall, then we're all dead. He was saying it's the love of God that really he used to dominate them, impel them, better yet, impel them. Because they love for God, they was restrained from doing and saying certain things. Well, if you are born again believer, the love of God ought to restrain you from going around here being a gospel, a backbiter, going around out here blasting another leader. Y'all, that ain't the spirit of God. And that's why in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, Galatians 3:26, he said, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, he was addressing the law. He was addressing a different race of people with different background. Their culture was different. But he said, if you don't accept Jesus, your Lord, and say, we all are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And that's what the enemy, I'm telling you, the enemy ever since this earth, he always been trying to bring division between family, different culture, different color. He's still trying to do. He's been trying to start a race war for I don't know how long. And you got some people because of their ignorance. Yeah, but the white folk did this. And the white, I remember coming as a kid to Ku Klux Klan, what they did. I used to hear my dad and them talk about it. Then I come up, I start hearing them talking about the black and the white. And I couldn't understand it. It just didn't make sense to me. But then when I got born again and God began to open my eyes up pertaining to him as God and began to open up my eyes about the devil. The devil hate all of us. But see, a lot of people say, but you just don't know. That was them. You ain't got it yet. You can be influenced by the spirit of God and you can be influenced by the devil. Been that, done that. I done been influenced by God before. I've been influenced by the devil before. And I watched the enemy would take advantage of your ignorance. Come on now. I'm telling you, as an act of your will, now I didn't have this plan today, but as an act of your will, some of you done made these choices and you suffering the consequences and you blaming God, you blaming the devil, you blaming your family, you blame. No. You need to take a step back and look at you. Go back and think about some of the decisions you made. But see, that's the good thing about Jesus. You can make these bad decisions, but once he forgives you, he'll help you with the consequences. Oh, yes, he will. I'm a witness of it. He'll help you to forgive yourself. I can't go back and change all the wrong I did before I got saved. But I don't have to let the enemy walk around here and condemn me, walking in guilt. The Bible tells us, therefore, there's no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit. And not the flesh. I don't walk around condemning myself. And the enemy will try to bring it to me. And I remind him, I forgave Ann. And sometimes I have to remind Ann Miller, God forgave you. Forgive yourself. I want you to see that this is so important. And then he goes, for as many of you were baptized in that 27 verse, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Listen, there's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be in Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And I'm telling y'all, this is real. It's so many Christians is walking around and they don't have no idea who they are in Christ. They don't have no idea what Christ done did because they, for years, they've been allowed somebody else to read the Bible for them, to interpretate the Bible for them. Yah, we in a different kingdom. We are now in the kingdom of God. We are citizen of God's kingdom. That's why in Matthew 6:33, it tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. The necessary things of life, what you going to eat, what you going to drink, what you going to wear. Listen, as a citizen in the kingdom, that's not your responsibility. That's the king. It's a king responsibility to take care of the citizen in his kingdom. As a born-again believer, I'm a citizen in the kingdom of God, and God is responsible for me. But I came about to be a citizen. It was my choice. I choose to be a citizen in the kingdom of God. There's so many benefits. And that's why if you want to know, if you go to Deuteronomy the 28th chapter, first it tell you about the curses. I mean, it tell you about the blessing. Then it tell you about it. But there too, again, I want you to hear me. As an act of your will, somebody listen at this broadcast right now, and you done made a lot of dumb decisions. But you did it. They were your choice. And you suffering the consequences, and you can't figure out why God didn't twist your will. No, God did not violate your will. I'm sure the voice of thought came to you when you, I don't know about y'all, even before I got saved, I noticed this. And God brought some things to show. When I would get ready to do wrong, it would be like a voice of thought would come to me, don't do that again. But an act of my will, I choose to override. I didn't have no idea that was God speaking to me. But every time I rejected and went against that voice, something happened to me. Everybody, like when I was growing up, my mama and dad said, don't do this, don't do that. And every time I rebelled against what they said, something happened. And when I came into the knowledge, I found that to be true. When we, as an act of our will, everybody in that little bit, choose to don't do what God, you suffer the consequences. I try to tell this millennial generation, now, they tell you, I'm grown, I can do what I want to do. Okay, it's old folks, you say you want to be grown, you're going to have a grown-up problem. But what they don't understand, when you want to do what you want to do, it's consequences to it. Yeah, you can do what you want to do, but it's consequences to it. It's the consequences that, as old folks used to say, I'll scratch you out. I have you to write a check that you can't cash. And this is what he was saying in Christ. And like I said, all of this bitterness and resentment and separation, that's not the spirit of God. But he was saying the love of God constrained us, and then he gone. I'm in 2 Corinthians 5, and I like to read from a living Bible. I like to read from a living Bible, too. But like I said, God, through Christ, have fixed it for all of us. You can live right if you choose to. Don't let the enemy of your soul have you think, oh, you can't do that. That's a lie from the pits of hell. The devil thrive on, and walk around here with all, so what? I'm going to put it this way, and if somebody, even if some white person, some black person, other color skin of somebody mistreat some of your ancestors, pray this that may pops if they kill them. That was the spirit influencing them to do that. That was the spirit that brought that hatred, that bitterness in them. And I'm telling y'all, when the reality that really kick in, it makes a difference. Now, the Bible tells me to live peace with all men. That don't mean everybody going to live peaceful with me. I done experienced lies, and I remember when some false accusation came in my life and all that. I just wanted to stop living right. I experienced a bad experience with some male ministers. And I remember when I just wanted to throw in the towel. I said, God, I ain't doing this. And God told me, he said, that wasn't me. That was the act of their will. They choose to do that. They allow the enemy to deceive them. They being deceived, man. And because I'm telling you, I'm finna throw in the towel. But I learned from the experience. I have to use cautious. But I forgave them. Y'all, I'm here to tell you, God ain't going to override nobody's will. And like I said, the enemy wants you to believe. He going to always have you to blame other people for your action. If you ain't coming to the knowledge and understanding that the consequences you're dealing with now is the choices that you made. I'm here to tell you. And like I said, the enemy wants you to blame everybody but you. Y'all know Prophet Miller going to this. I'm going to my King James Version. I like that King James Version, 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm telling you, you need to know you not only have a friend in Jesus, but you have a Savior in Jesus. Hallelujah. We have a Savior in him. Hallelujah. I'm in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14 in the Living Bible. 5 and 14 in the Living Bible. Hallelujah. I love you. I bless you and I praise you, Father. He says, since we believe that Christ died for everyone, listen. Christ died for, I know I'm expounding. It seems like Prophet Miller just constantly talking about all that. I don't want to hear that. Well, you need to hear it. It's God inspiring me to share with you. God loves everybody, y'all. And some saints, and I said, we asked the body, we have not been a good example when it come down to expressing and demonstrating the love of God. We ain't been a good example. I'm just going to be honest with you. You have saints going to sinners talking about that leader this and that leader this and that leader this. The Bible tells us to pray for those in authority. There's a lot of things going on in the White House. I don't bit more agree with it. It ain't in line with God. But I pray for them. Well, what prayer going to do? We've been praying. I had somebody in my family. We've been praying for so-and-so in over 50 years, and they still in. But guess what? They coming in. I just have to believe and have faith and trust in my prayer. My ancestor prayed for us to have a better day. Look how long it took. Some of them didn't even live to see the better day, from the cotton field to the manufacturing. And I look at some of the jobs. I look at my children. I pick cotton. I went in the woods. My dad had a law. My children don't do that. Thank God, both of my children, they spent over 20 years in the military. Now they working for the government. Done retired from one job at an early. Now they're working on another job, homes and automobiles. Y'all, you know, that was what I remember my grandmama praying. My grandmama used to pick cotton. She used to work in the white people house and work. That's the way she came up, out there pulling grass out the yard, cooking and cleaning, doing all of that stuff. But look at her grandchildren, her great-great-grandchildren. Look what God done did. The Bible even said in Hebrews, they said a lot of them died without receiving the promise. Something that God promised our ancestors, they didn't live to see it. But guess what? They children, they grandchildren. Something that God done promised me, I might not live to see it. But guess what? Either my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren or my great-grandchildren, if Jesus tells, they going to be able to experience. That's what we praying for. But don't let bitterness and resentment control you. And I'm telling you, it's too much of that in the body of Christ. Oh, this good word, prophet, good word, hallelujah. Somebody need to say hallelujah to Jesus. Come on, somebody need to say hallelujah to Jesus. I said, now, you go in, like in First Corinthians, remember we started out in First Corinthians? And y'all, I'm telling you, we linger with this here teaching, but we need to know all this bitterness and resentment, it ain't coming from God. I was in a conference on Friday with the Apostle Graham and his beautiful wife. And I was looking at the different gifts that was up there ministering. And see, the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, if you read all of it, and I like some Paul said, he said, for as many in the body as one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have made all made to drink into one Spirit? For the body is not one member, but many. And God says, you know, a lot of people look at denomination, but do you not know denomination bring about separation? Christ freed us from that. It was a separation between the Jew and the Gentile. The bond and slave, different color, males and females. Y'all, it was a separation. Jesus fixed all of that for us. And I spent a whole teaching on this last week. How females was not highly, they was considered as property, like an animal. So the Jews taught dog, the Pharisees used them for what they wanted. But Jesus liberated the female. Jesus liberated the people that was in slavery. Jesus wanted to liberate you from all that bitterness and resentment that you were raised up in. He wanted to help you to forgive. He wants you to forget those things that are behind you, as Apostle Paul said. You just dwelling on them, but you don't know what they did. I don't have no idea, but I can tell you one thing from my experience. Now, a lot of people say, you're one that bad in mind. I can agree with that, too, but guess what? Experience is experience. If the old folk, you say, you can't tell it like I tell it, let me tell it. Nobody know exactly what you encounter, what you experience as a child. Only God know, but I just want to let you know that God love you, and Jesus came to set you free. That's why he said the sick don't need a physician. He's the one that a sick person need a physician. One that's not sick don't need one. And a lot of people, even in the body of Christ, they living with a lot of rejection. They dealing with a lot of hurt. I hear people say a lot of times, church hurt. It shouldn't be the church hurt you, but the church can be ignorant. It can be lacking knowledge. It can be lacking experience. Come on, somebody. The perfect one is in us, but we still have to learn how to yield to the perfect one that is in us. And that's why the Bible says, if you don't forgive others that come against you or trust me, neither will God forgive you. All of us have assets. And I used to say, Lord, why we got so many bitter people in the body? How they treat one another? Come on, somebody. And the Lord began to let me know, oh, some of them, they have identity problem. They don't know who they is in Christ. Some people, we train ourselves, and I done been down that road. You can train yourself to be smiling on the inside. You can be this mean as a rattlesnake because you don't let so much of stuff bog up in you. You need a spiritual laxative. And only God can give you. And I'm telling you, when you come into the knowledge, but like I said, when you go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it talk about the body. And I love what he's saying, one member. He said, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Other words, when it said every part in the body is needed. I sit there and I observe different gifts got up and ministered in the area that God had graced them to do it. And I could receive from each one of them. But guess what? Every part of the body have it. A lot of times people expire more on the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. But y'all, we have to bring balance. Just because you not an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, you are valued in the kingdom as a layperson, as a usher, as a deacon, as a you are valued to God. And if you don't care none of that, God, you still valued to God. Children don't understand the Bible tell you to honor your parents, that you will have a long life. And the enemy done put bitterness and resentment in males and females because maybe your dad wasn't there. Maybe your mama wasn't there. And the enemy got you hating them for whatever reason. But the enemy ain't told you life brought about rejection and bitterness in their heart that causing them to act contrary to what they was created to act. And some of them in bondage, and they don't know how to come out of it. But let me tell you, here's something about the word, forgive me, I'm sorry. It melts the heart. It does good like a medicine, I'm telling you, just like joy does. And I'm telling you, we in the body of Christ, we need to get rid of the, but he was saying, look what else he said, in the 15th verse, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hands, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body was an eye, where were they hearing? If the whole were hearing, there would be no smelling. But now, listen, 18 verse, King James verse. But now have God set the members in every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Regardless to the color of your skin, your education, if you've been born again, you are part of the body of Christ. You might not be in the pulpit. You might not be that apostle, that prophet, that evangelist, that pastor, teacher, but you still part of the body. And God love everybody. You know, as an apostolic prophet, I travel, and I go to different churches and I observe things. And it grieves God sometimes when you see how some leaders, it's all about them. They don't know any better. They got room to grow. Because all of us have room to grow. But y'all, every part of the body is needed. And this is what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. He wanted them to know every part of the body is necessary. And God placed you in the body where he wants you in the body. And wherever he placed you, that don't mean you bigger than somebody. There's too many big eye in little you's. Y'all, come on. And this is what the enemy is fighting. The Bible said the love of God been shielded born in our heart by the Holy Ghost. The Bible, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandment. And he said, when you keep my commandment, you abiding in my love. God loves everybody. Everybody, regardless of creed or color. And we need to get this in us and get rid of all this bitterness and this resentment. No, you can't make everybody love you. But see, that's why it's so important. Once you get born again and get the Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit will tell me when to hold them, when to fold them, when to let go. But even sometimes, even if the Holy Spirit tell you to wait a while before you get run, but he ain't going to have you still going around talking about them people. Come on, giving them a bad rap. That's not the Spirit of God. That's Satan done got in there. Hallelujah. But he gone down, and I'm going to close with this. Like I said, he said, but now have God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it have pleased him. And if they were all one member, where would the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more fever unnecessary. And so many times in churches, some pastors will look over the one that appear to be fever. Somebody ain't got much education, especially now, Lord have mercy. If you don't have a degree in theology, if you don't know how to do Greek, and y'all, it's sad. Anything going to cause you to be little and look down on another part of the body, somebody that been saved, anytime the enemy got you trying to look down on them, you need to repent because that's not the Spirit of God. Come on, sir. It's all about accuracy now. You got to be accurate. That's why some people can't enjoy the Spirit of God on Sunday when it come down to praise and worship. If you don't know how to worship God for yourself, because now if you ain't singing fast or you ain't doing this, something wrong with you. Y'all, we need to stop that. We need, as leaders, we need to know what we releasing over the pulpit, how it going to affect the people, how it going to affect them with other part of the body. See, God told me a long time ago as a minister of the gospel. He said, if you cause one of these little ones to dishonor what I honor, I'm going to charge it to your account. Yeah, I see some leader doing things that don't agree with the word, but I pray for them. Necessarily, I fast for them. Because that's why it's a lot of confusion. That's why some children don't understand their parents. They one thing in the church and one thing when they get home. A child don't forget things. I had God to rebuke me through my son one time. Children, pay attention, y'all. Hallelujah. I know this good word. I didn't ask for this either. I didn't have this when I came on. Didn't know we were going this way. But then he said, and I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundantly honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundantly comeliness. For our comely part have no need, but God have, listen, but God have tempered the body together. Did you see that? Now, he just said in the 18th verse, but now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body as he have pleased. Then it come right back in the 24th verse, for our comely part have no need, but God have tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lack, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Now ye, listen, now ye are the body of Christ. And members in particular. And see, that's what I'm saying. We need you're not supposed to exalt one office or one gift above the other one. Now he tells us in the 28th verse, he said God have set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophet, thirdly teacher, after that miracles, then gift for healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues. All apostles are all prophet or all teacher are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongue, do all interpret it, but cover earnestly the best gift, and yet show unto you a more excellent way. Now, my point is there too again. Why the body of Christ acting so crazy? Why they? Because some of them haven't come into the knowledge and the reality of this. Because I'm telling you, we all can miss it. I think I should have. I have had people come to me, Prophet Miller, you offend me. They tell me. And now I be living. The Holy Ghost would tell me, Ann, just go on and humble yourself. And I say, I'm sorry. Y'all, let me tell you something. Everything that we experience, and I said this in the beginning of this broadcast, you that experience so much rejection, so much hurt, let go. By faith, forgive the ones that done did it to you and trust God. I'm telling you, this is so real. The enemy is using the body of Christ to fight one another. I like some of these ministries that I hear, you know, like Kenny Copeland, you know, Kenny Copeland, Andrew and Jordan, they be talking about how they don't allow strife and offenses in their ministry. They talk to the people on their staff. Now, somebody said, they could be lying. They could well be. But guess what? The Bible say that, though. We supposed to resist strife, false accusation, like we resist fire. Is nobody in their right mind going to allow fire to land on them and say, oh, look at the fire. I'm just burning up my clothes. No. And y'all, I'm telling you, the glory of God is here. But some people is not experiencing the glory of God because they won't do what the word says. And remember what I said, it's an act of their will. Don't say no more, the devil made me do it. Don't say no more, I have a right to hate so-and-so. I have a right to say this. No, you don't. Now, if you a sinner, yeah, go ahead, think like that. But as a believer, no, you don't. As we've been forgiven, we got to forgive others. Forgiveness is so powerful, it can transform people's lives, the very one that mistreated you, if you forgive them. Father, in the master's name of Jesus, I want to thank you for another day. And Father, I give you praise. I give you honor. I thank you for what you're doing right now in the spirit realm. I thank you, Lord, for transforming people's lives. I thank you for that individual that been dealing with a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, a lot of rejection. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. It's melting their heart and gracing them with the ability, as an act of their will, if they choose to forgive, he helping them to let go and let you do it, God. Father, I thank you for bringing this word, this enlightenment to your people today, even to myself. Even when I go off there, Holy Spirit, help and open up their eyes to let them know, as an act of their will, They can choose to make these wrong decisions, to reject or rebel against God, but they will suffer the consequences. Amen.